Thank you, thank you. I can't believe no one's seen Pastor Luke. Tall, handsome, I would say athletic build. No one's seen him. That's amazing. He did ask me to come here and to share a story with all of you, but where I come from, the children come and sit close, and if you'd like two children, you can come here and sit on the floor in front of me. I am going to tell you a story of diligence, serving faithfully and wholeheartedly, just right here, serving faithfully and wholeheartedly the Lord in everything that we think and everything that we say and in everything that we do. Come on up, come on up. The big kids too can come up. Some of you are not children, so you can't come up. I have a story. It's a wonderful story. And you know what makes it even more wonderful? It's a true story. It's a story of a faithful servant of God. And it's a story of a God who kept an old promise. My story starts long ago in a place called Egypt. It was an incredible place, the city of Thebes. It was the center of the world. Palaces that stood high into the sky. Beautiful monuments the size of mountains, covered in gold and rubies. This is where my story takes place. And I had a very important position there. I was the Pharaoh's. Well, I was his taste tester. I was his cupbearer. Everything that he would eat and everything that he would drink, I would eat and drink first. And I know what you're thinking. Ew, gross. Do you mean I would sip every glass of wine before he'd drink it? Well, you guys probably don't understand this because you're not pharaohs, but being a pharaoh for some time, you get a few enemies. And so, at times, people would try to poison you. No big deal, but it would happen. And so, my job was to be like a guinea pig, right? I would try these things, and so nobody would try to poison the dear Pharaoh because they knew that everything that he would eat and drink, I would eat and drink first. And you might think that's a gross position, but in Egypt, it was a very important position. Because it means that the Pharaoh would listen to me. I had the ear of the king who ruled the world. And it came with many benefits. I would eat the nicest foods, and I would drink the nicest drinks, and I would stay in the nicest palaces, and I would wear the nicest clothes. Oh, there was a downside, though. You see, I had to spend a lot of time with it. Well, a very temperamental pharaoh. To this day, I'm not sure exactly what I did, or maybe I said something, or maybe I just looked at him the wrong way. But one day, me, the faithful cupbearer, Saka, and the baker, we were thrown into prison. Can you imagine me in prison? After eating all the finest foods and wearing all the finest clothes and being in the palace with the king. Oh, what a terrible place it was. I can remember that day like it was yesterday. It wasn't really even a prison. It was more like a pit. Nasty, smelly rats. Damp. Stinky. Oh, I remember when they unchained the door and they opened it up and oh, the smell. Can you imagine a bunch of people that have been in this prison for maybe years without a bath? Could you imagine the smell? It would be as if you all didn't clean your room for a decade. Can you imagine the smell? Oh. It was terrible. it was, to me, the worst place in the world. And the captain of the guard took one look at me and my friend, the baker, and Opa was his name, and he looked at us, and he must have thought in his mind, oh, they're never going to last in here. This is a rough place filled with rough people. And I remember him saying to me, you two are going to need someone to look after you. And he called out in that dark pit, and he said a name that I'll remember forever. He called out and he said, Joseph, I need your help. Help. What kind of person would help someone else in a place like this? I thought to myself. Then I said this to the jailer. Who is this man, this Joseph, who comes and helps people in prison? What kind of person does this? And he said, well, only Joseph does this. He's been here for years now. When he first came, he did something very strange that most people don't do when they come to a prison. He started to clean the place up. He looked after people, made sure they got food and made sure they were well taken care of. And everybody had a space and there was peace and he broke up fights. The place was a mess before he got here. And I looked around and I thought, it's still a mess. But Joseph is the man who works his hardest to keep this place as nice as it can be. And what was the first thing I thought, of course, coming from the palace? Oh, okay, well, how much do you pay him? Certainly he must work for a great price. And the jailer just looked at me and he laughed. How much would you have to pay someone to work in a place like this? Pay him? No. I can't afford him. He volunteers to work. Can you imagine? He says he does this work for his God. He always does his best wherever he is and whatever he happens to be doing for his God. Diligence, I think it's called. Though I don't know if I've ever really seen it until Joseph. I think his God must have forgotten him. But he seems sure that God is pleased with his work, and he even believes that God will come and rescue him someday. Well, certainly, I thought when I heard that, everyone hopes that God will come and rescue them in a place like this. Surely. My thoughts, honestly, weren't really with this strange man, Joseph. I was thinking of who, do you think? Myself. In a place like this, a filthy prison closed behind an iron door. And as the guard was walking away, I spoke out into the darkness. I said, well, what if he doesn't help me? And the jailer just laughed again. Well, first, like I said, he is a volunteer. Second, what am I going to do, throw him in prison? And the door shut behind me with a clang, and I heard the chains locking the door behind me. Oh, would I ever, ever get out of that place, do you think? Well, of course I would. I'm right here. Yes. This is it. I'm going to die. Then I heard this voice, come, follow me. I'll find you a place to eat, to sleep, and some food to eat. You'll be safe here with me under my protection. So I followed the voice. He did do all that he said he would. He found a place for us to sleep and some food. Nothing, of course, like the food in the palace, but when you're hungry, you're hungry. And I asked Joseph, what could he have done to find himself in a place like this? Such an awful and terrible place. And over time, he told me his story. Does anybody know Joseph's story? Have you heard of this man? He was sold as a slave by his own brothers. Who has brothers like that? No, none of you. A couple of you, okay. Sold as a slave by his own brothers. And he was sold to this man named Potiphar. And he worked hard in Potiphar's house. Now, I think, if it were me, I would have a very hard time doing my very best if I was a slave. Wouldn't you? I would have a very hard time working with all of my heart and being diligent with what I did if I was a slave. And I wasn't even paid. Wouldn't you? I think so. But it wasn't long before Joseph had risen to control the entire estate because of his faithfulness and his service. And so I'm sure you think that the next step must have been the palace. He began to work at the palace. Well, the next step for Joseph was the palace, but it was here in the palace dungeon. He was falsely accused of a crime that he didn't commit, and he was thrown into prison. Now, I suspect if you were thrown into prison, young man, what's your name?
Noah.
If you were thrown into prison, Noah, for a crime that you didn't commit, do you think it would be difficult to work hard for God?
Yeah.
Certainly it would. This Joseph, this man that was accused of so many things that he didn't do, that was a victim of circumstance, all of these terrible things had happened to him. And yet every day he would wake up and he would do his very best for God. And God blessed him. It wasn't just a story. I saw it even in the darkness of that place. Whenever anyone asked him, he always said he was serving the Lord. He had a relationship with God that confused me. A God that wouldn't even keep him out of prison. And even though God had put him in a place like this, he still seemed to believe that God had a purpose for Joseph, and so he served him well. And it wasn't long until I found out what that purpose was. You see, one night, I was sleeping in that smelly place. It was so smelly. I was sleeping there. And my friend Opa, the baker, was sleeping there too. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I had a dream. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Everyone has dreams. No. Not dreams like this. My dream wasn't a bad dream, but it was a scary dream. You see, us Egyptians, well, we are naturally superstitious of dreams. And bad dreams, dreams that are strange, dreams that are the kinds of dreams that you wake up from, and they're not like distant fading memories, but they're still clear in your mind. Those dreams that mean something, those are the ones that we're scared of as Egyptians. And not only is having a dream like this very, very bad, but what makes it very, very worse is when the other person sleeping in the room next to you has a dream just like it. And so in the middle of the night, what do you think I did? I woke up and I said, "Ah!" And Joseph came screaming, "Is everything okay? Have you been bitten by a rat? What's happened?" Now, what you don't understand about Egyptians is most Egyptians believe that it was through dreams that visions of the future were messages from the gods. We both had a dream that we thought was very, very important. And as Joseph asked us, we frantically told him, "Joseph, we've both had a dream. Last night, it had some kind of meaning. We don't know what they mean." Both of us were frantic. We were worried. We were sweating. There was terror on our faces, I'm sure. "Joseph, we don't know anything about interpreting dreams. When we were in the palace, certainly we could have asked the Pharaoh's dream interpreters, his magicians perhaps, and maybe they would be able to tell us, maybe they wouldn't. But here in the prison, who could possibly interpret our dream? Do you know anyone that could help us?" You know, at this point, you might think, Joseph might avoid dreams. After all, if you know Joseph's story, who has heard of Joseph? If you know his story, what did he have a long, long time ago? It was a dream that God would make him great. that God would save his family through him long, long ago. He had that dream when he was a free man. Now he's a man in prison. Certainly it wasn't going very well for his dream. So you might think that Joseph would stay away from dreams, but I looked panically and expectantly at him, and after a moment, he said this: "Doesn't the interpretation of dreams belong to the one true God that I serve? Please tell me your dreams." And so I did. I told him. I was anxious to understand. It disturbed me so much. And so I told him right then and there. In my dream, there was a vine. And on that vine, there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth. And the clusters ripened into grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I was a cupbearer. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup into his hand. What does it mean? And in a moment, Joseph spoke. This is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand, as you did formerly when you were his cupbearer. 3 days? In 3 days, I would be out of this stinky hole. Isn't that wonderful news? Yes, I was very excited. It was the most exciting thing I had ever heard. I was leaping. My face brightened immediately. And I would be released from this dirty dungeon, this nasty pit. Oh, I was so excited. And in the midst of my excitement, Joseph tried to calm me down. Joseph, he said, "I know that God will be faithful to make your dream come true." Well, strange thing for him to say. "I know that God will be faithful to make your dream come true. But when he does, please, my friend, don't forget about me. Please tell Pharaoh to release me. I was kidnapped from a land of my fathers. I've been imprisoned in this pit, having done nothing wrong. Please remind the Pharaoh of me." And of course, I said, "Well, yeah, sure, I'll do that. That's not a problem. I can do that. Certainly, I'll remember that." Anyways, "Come, Opa," I said, "tell him your dream. I wonder what wonderful things God has in store for you. Maybe we'll work together again, my friend." And so he started to tell Joseph his dream. "I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head, and in the top basket, there were all sorts of baked goods for the Pharaoh, and the birds kept coming down and eating them out of the basket. What could it mean?" "What does it mean? Do you know?" "Ah, you're not Joseph. That's fine." "This is the interpretation," he said. "The three baskets are 3 days. And in 3 days, that will be the end of you. Joseph will have you, or Pharaoh rather, will have you executed." Now, how would you respond to news like that? Yes, yes. Dear Opa was not excited. And we both sat wondering for 3 days, day after day, wondering, perhaps God wouldn't follow through. Perhaps he would not be faithful to carry out what he had given us in this message. Perhaps we would be free. Perhaps we would not. Who really knows? But Joseph said to us, "I know that God will be faithful to make your dream come true." What a strange thing for him to say. After all, he had had this dream when he was a young boy, and here he was in prison. Well, after 3 days, I was excited. Poor Opa was not in a good mood. And on the third day, it so happened that it was the Pharaoh's birthday. The palace was abuzz with excitement and festivities. There was a party going on upstairs that we could even hear it way down in the pit. And if you've ever been the ruler of an empire, anyone? No. If you've ever been the ruler of an empire, which most likely you have not, it's a common thing for rulers of great kingdoms to think very much of themselves and very little of other people. And so it was the case with Pharaoh as well. It was his custom on his birthday to take two random prisoners, and to show the great power of the king, one would be executed. And to show his great kindness and benevolence, the other would be freed and restored. Who do you think he picked at random? Yes, it was me and my friend Opa. And we entered the throne room of the Pharaoh. No one knew what was going to happen except for us. And everyone was silent as the Pharaoh spoke. The cupbearer will be released, he said. The baker will be executed. You know, as we both exited the prison, I sometimes wonder what Joseph would be thinking. It was only 3 days since our dream, and already God had been faithful to fulfill what he promised. And here was Joseph, this poor man, working day after day after day, serving faithfully, and yet his promise had been years and years and years ago. And he must have wondered, do you think, maybe his dream wouldn't come true? He must have wondered, I would, if God would be faithful. If God would actually do what he was promising. Wouldn't you wonder that? I certainly would. In fact, I'm sure it felt for Joseph like everyone had forgotten him. I'm sure this is the case because, well, it seemed like to me everyone had forgotten him as well. You see, I did promise Joseph that when I was restored, when I was freed, what would I do? I would speak to the Pharaoh. Now, honestly, the Pharaoh is not someone you just go up to and ask a favor for. And so I thought, well, I'll wait till the perfect time. After all, the memory of the prison was still fresh in my mind, and I didn't want to do anything that would mess my situation up, you must understand. And you don't just go up to the Pharaoh and say, hey, Pharaoh, buddy, I got a favor. Can you help me out? No, 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 no. And so what do you think? Do you think I remembered? Unfortunately, days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months. And a certain Joseph, he faded into my memory. No, 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 I'm sorry to say I didn't remember him. You have to understand, I was excited to be out of that horrible place. Oh, it was so stinky. And to be back in the fine palaces with the finest of foods and the finest of clothing. Oh, it was so wonderful. I was just so excited. I could certainly put that pit, that terrible place, out of my memory and out of my mind. And unfortunately, Joseph went with it. And he just sat and waited. Everyone had forgotten him. And I'm sure he maybe wondered if God had forgotten him. But he stayed in that dark pit and he waited. And most of us are not very good at waiting in the best of circumstances. Most of us tend to say to our parents, are we there yet? Imagine waiting for something promised for years in a dark dungeon. He worked hard, though. He served others. He did his best because he knew that while everyone else in the world forgot him, God would be faithful to fulfill his promise. And so it was said of poor Joseph that everything that he did prospered, and God blessed his hard work. But, do you know, me and Joseph and poor Opa, we're not the only ones that have dreams. One night, the Pharaoh had a dream. He woke up and he was panicked. When Pharaoh's not happy, nobody's happy. He paced back and forth in the palace. He was anxious and sweating. His heart was racing. He screamed up and down the palace, wondering what his strange dream might mean and how this might be some kind of warning from God about the future. And he was beside himself. It took everyone in the kingdom, it seems, to calm him down and get him back to sleep the next night. And the next night, finally, when he went to sleep, do you know what happened? He had another dream. Well, this time, he would not be consoled. He wouldn't go back to sleep until he found out what this dream would mean. He sent messengers far and wide throughout the kingdom. Bring all the magicians, bring all the dream readers, and all of the seers. And one of them must tell me what these dreams mean, these strange dreams. But the problem was, no matter who the king summoned, no one could tell him what these dreams meant. No one. Can you think of anyone? Anyone at all? Yes. David? The other David? Yes. Joseph was sitting in his cell still. And the king sent all the messengers. At first, he was angry. He was enraged. And then he felt hopeless and exhausted and anxious in his mind. How is the longest time you've ever been without sleep? How long? All night? I bet you get crabby. Yes. The king was very crabby. And nobody likes a king that was crabby. And the king started to offer anything, lavish gifts, to anyone who would tell him what these dreams meant. He was willing to do anything for anyone who would give him a moment's peace so that he could rest again. And all of a sudden, everything that I have forgotten came rushing back into my mind, and I remembered a man named Joseph, not David. Yes, Joseph. And I said to the king, oh, my goodness. Oh, I want to do this. I don't want to. I was thinking to myself, what do I do? Maybe the king will get mad at me. Maybe the Pharaoh will be angry at me. After all, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I was in the pit and I didn't want to go back. And I held out as long as I could. And yet, I remembered the name Joseph. And finally, I took a big gulp, and I said, oh, Pharaoh, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. I had forgotten. When you were angry with me, I'm sorry, I'm sure it was all my fault. You threw me into the pit with the baker, and we had dreams. And there was a man there, a man who served God and others in the dungeon. His name was Joseph. And he told us what these dreams meant. And after that, what he had said came to pass. His God knows the meaning of these dreams. His God is faithful to bring these dreams to pass. Oh, when Pharaoh heard this, he immediately ordered the captain of his guards to collect this Joseph out of the pit. And remember, Joseph had been in this pit for years now. And what do you think he was? a bit stinky. He was a bit stinky. He needed to shave. He needed a nice haircut. And so the captain of the guard, before he brought Joseph to him, gave him a nice haircut, gave him a shave, gave him a wash down, some new clothes, so that, so that he didn't stink the place up, basically. And he brought this Joseph in to see the Pharaoh. And as Joseph entered the throne room, I was there. Everyone else grew silent. It seemed as if the room was, the only ones in the room were Joseph and the Pharaoh. There he was, sitting on his throne, anxious, exhausted. He looked like he had gotten no sleep, bags under his eyes. Awful, awful, awful. And as this Joseph approached the Pharaoh looked up immediately, frantically. He approached Joseph. I have a dream. I must know what they mean. Can you tell me what they mean? Can you? And Joseph responded, "It's God and not me who interprets dreams. I am only his faithful servant." Oh. And this could have been the title of Joseph's biography, The Faithful Servant. "This was my dream," the Pharaoh said frantically. "I was standing by the river, and out of the river came seven cows, fat and plump. Wonderful cows. And then a moment later, seven really ugly, nasty, sickly-looking cows came up out of the river, and you know what they did? They ate up the big fat cows. And they didn't even get fatter. Do you see how that's a strange dream?" Even though everyone in the throne room had heard the dreams by now, they still looked confused. What could that possibly mean? Cows eating other cows. And the Pharaoh continued, "My second dream was that there were seven healthy stalks. They had lots of buds on them. They were healthy. And then all of a sudden, seven withered, scrawny, ugly-looking stalks came up, and they choked them out. Not one of the magicians or the dream readers could possibly interpret it, but God gave Joseph the interpretation. They are the same dream," he said. "God is warning the Pharaoh. The seven good cows and the seven good stocks are seven good years that God will give Egypt. There will be more than enough food. The crops will grow and the livestock will flourish. But then there will be seven bad years. So bad that even the memory of the good years will be erased." Ooh. Joseph interpreted the dreams, but that wasn't exactly good news. The Pharaoh was still distraught. "What should I do?" And yet, Joseph recognized something. You see, over the years where he had served as a slave, when he had served faithfully in the dungeons, over his life, well, to be honest, Joseph would tell you this. When he was a young man, he was quite foolish. But over the years of suffering and serving God, God had given Joseph wisdom. And so he spoke again to the Pharaoh. He said, "My suggestion is to build storehouses that can be filled. The seven good years will provide for your needs, Pharaoh. Just appoint officers, someone to collect one-fifth of the harvest for the seven good years so that when things get hard, no one will go hungry. That will be more than enough to provide." And everyone, the Pharaoh included, recognized that God was with Joseph. There was no one else that compared in the favor of God. Pharaoh pointed at Joseph and said, "Is there any doubt that the Spirit of God rests in anyone more than this man here? Joseph, you will be this man. I will give you power over half my kingdom. You will have the authority of the Pharaoh throughout all Egypt. No one will be greater than you, and everything will be done by your word. And Pharaoh gave him his signet ring and all the power in the throne that it implied, and he placed it in the hand of Joseph, the man who only this morning was a prisoner. And he took a robe off his own back and laid it on Joseph's shoulders. The golden symbol of the house of the Pharaohs was placed on his neck. We will give you a new name. Zaphnath-Paneah. It's a mouthful. But it means this. The one true God has said that this man shall live. The man who was sold as a slave, who worked for God. The man who spent years in a prison cell and worked faithfully for God. The man who had gone from the deepest and the darkest of pits to the most splendid of palaces. It was almost 13 years that Joseph waited and worked for God. For years, he had almost only the promise that God would be faithful to do what he had said. And yet Joseph believed that promise. And God had brought this boy with a dream, and he had made him the king of Egypt. And countless people would be saved because God was faithful to fulfill his promise to Joseph. Why should God's people be faithful and diligent in everything that they say and do? Why should we serve God wholeheartedly, no matter what the circumstances and everything that he gives our hands to do? Why ought we be faithful in this? After all, it's easy to be faithful when things are good, isn't it? When everything is going well, it's easy to honor God with our work, yes? It's when things are difficult that it gets very hard. And the next time God gives you a difficult job to do, God puts you in a difficult position. When circumstances are bad, and we wonder to ourselves why we should serve God in this situation when he has put us here, I want you to remember the story of Joseph, a man who served faithfully, served people while in prison, while a slave, who did everything for God's glory. Why did he serve God so faithfully? Do you know what I think it is? Joseph knew God. Joseph knew that God was a faithful God. And his followers, when we serve and are faithful as well, we honor him and his character. Remember the example of Joseph, who was diligent in every circumstance. And not only this, remember that God will be faithful to bless his people in the end. And we don't know how long it will take or when it will happen, but we know that God will fulfill his promises because he is a faithful God. And if we are going to be his people, we also ought to be a faithful people. This is how we give glory to God in our work. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the example of Joseph. No matter what his circumstance, Father, you gave him the conviction that you are a God who is faithful to fulfill your promises. And when we read the story of Joseph in the Bible, we read over and over and over again that Joseph did everything working heartily and that you blessed him, Lord. We pray that the same things would be said of us, that whatever we do, whether in our words or in the things that we do, we would serve faithfully with our whole heart. And then in doing that, we would bring glory to a God who is faithful. That we would follow your example, Lord, in everything that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name.